Hello, hi. Welcome to another episode of Makoti Unveiled. I'm your host, the resident Makoti, Siya Tsewu. If you're not a first-time listener, thanks for joining us again. We love having you. But if you're with us for the first time, wamkelekile sithandwa. Makoti, today we have a treat for you. We are speaking to our faves. I mean, osithandwa nomix, osweetie lavo, the husbands. The real reason we are all here. You guessed it, the husbands. Abakhwenyana. This conversation is very long, so we have to split it into two parts. In this episode, we're speaking about what husbands think of ukukotiza and their wives doing endless chores at the in-laws, the makoti dress code, and what makes a good makoti according to them. In part one of this episode, we'll be joined by Pastor Lwazi Degeda of the Downtown Christian Center Church in East London, who is also an attorney by profession. You know our second guest from Mnakwethu and Uthando Nesithembu. We'll be chatting to popular polygamist and traditionalist Musa Mseleku. Ladies, this one is juicy, so please make sure that you tell us what you think on Facebook using the hashtag Makoti Unveiled Podcast. How do you feel as a man when you see your wife eyosebenza kokwenu, the manual labor, kuyasetyenzwa mosemzini, whether uzimbiza kuyothezwa, you know, there's the manual labor esetyenzwayo. How do you feel about that? This is Pastor Degeda.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, look, I don't necessarily have a difficulty with that scenario. I mean, it's happened, obviously. I am married for 15 years and it's happened. I think that the challenge arises for me when it becomes excessive or abusive. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. I mean, where you get to home and you find that, you know, because your wife is the only makoti that is around, you know, there might be sisters and cousins who are present, but, you know, she's the only one who's then, you know, made to work or is expected to work while everyone else is having a good time, relaxed, you know. But if it's a family initiative and everyone is on board, you know, everyone is working, I don't necessarily, you know, have a problem because, look, you know, generally when someone is being, you know, welcomed into the family, they say, it is often said that, look, you're part, you're coming to be part of the family, you know, you're a child of the home. Therefore, I think there must be equal application. I mean, there must be fairness in how we deal with omakoti as compared to how we deal with, you know, the sisters, because ultimately, omakoti are not superhuman. You know, they are human. You know, they also get tired and so forth. So to answer your question, I don't generally have a challenge with it unless, in my view, it becomes abusive.
Thank you so much, Mfundis, about that explanation. In fact, I concur with you 125%.
This is Babu Mseleku.
Sure. I think the wording on its own that is called what, manual labor. It's a bit problematic for me because it would suggest that it is an actual labor intensive sort of engagement, whereas it shouldn't be the case. It's some form of being involved or participating or doing something as far as the function is concerned, whatsoever function that is there. Obviously, it's not going to be a one-man's show where it's only your wife or your makoti will be heading that particular service. You know, it's some sort of an involvement of a number of people. If your wife does not participate in a family function, she's going to be excluded in one way or another. Whereas the reason why you have taken her to be part of the family is because you want her to be recognized or feel as a member of this family that we are building. So going out fetching woods in the modern days that we have is not necessarily a function that abomakoti are doing. is either we'll go and get someone to fetch wood. But the cooking on its own is not a manual labor per se. I think they also show some excitement when they are doing that, because I have seen my own wives, they even post to say, hey, today I am the Makoti because I am doing what the people that came before me from the Mselegus are also doing or they've been doing. So it's the way how they engage themselves, how they've been received and how they are being treated. If sometimes, because if they go there and they don't do anything, they feel that they are excluded in the process. Whereas if they participate in a number of things, they feel that they're included. Again, the issue of fetching water is not a big thing, because in our days, they don't have to go down to the river to fetch water. They just go to the tap. So it's not something that is so intensive when you look at it, but it's all about participation. And I would myself not feel okay if my wife is not participating in whatever that is being done at home, because I would feel like, hey, this Makoti now, she's lazy. You see, that will be my view. But otherwise, I am okay as long as she's not being ill-treated in the main.
Okay. And then I suppose, Mthambi, when you were younger, before you got married, you both of you gentlemen, did you look at Omakoti Wobutibeno and think, yeah, now one day when I have a wife, she'll also be walking around here, emagceke nakithi, doing umsebenzi wokotiza like hi?
Yes, well, definitely. Oh, no, continue, Mfunde. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. Look, I don't recall ever having that that thought when I see her. Really, I don't recall. I don't know about Mselega. I think he was seemingly got some recollection from that time.
Yeah, no, I have a big extended family, so I would see my big brothers bringing their Makotis at home and the reception that they used to receive. And when they participate in cooking, what is used to be nice about this is that when you have a wife, instead of going to join the line and queue there to dish for yourself, your wife will sing you out and dish for you. And it becomes such a great thing amongst the family. And more so, if your wife, she really shows some commitment, and the elders will say, this one has got a great wife. So that on its own, to you, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel a sense of belonging. So you would imagine that one day when you get a wife, you don't want to get what I will term a lazy wife who doesn't want to participate. So you would imagine that your wife will actually come and play an active role whenever there is a function or whenever there is a funeral within the family.
So I just going on what you're saying, Mselego, and I just want to touch on what you're saying about a lazy wife. We all have different gifts. Some of us love cooking. Some of us don't love cooking. Some of us, yes, you know, siyashiyana in terms of the things we are interested in. So what happens then if your wife is really not interested in cooking? She's not good with cooking. In fact, even in your own home at Dolopin, she doesn't want to cook. So what then? Does that then become problematic when she's got other gifts? She's got other things that she's able to do or things that she wants to do. But what happens then when she doesn't, it's not something that she likes? I'm tando sebenza. I'm not domesticated. Do you feel like, okay, if I've got umama ngixaya endlini, I can then bring her mangisize emakhaya, then I bring her, then the lady on the side engine can come with this here in Makai, because me, I don't want to.
A family function is a secluded function, which to a certain extent requires members of the family to play a leading role. If your wife doesn't want to cook, surely she can participate in dishing food, serving other people. If she doesn't want to, she can participate in washing dishes. There must be something that she's good at. It cannot be she's not good on anything. Then that becomes problematic. at least she will be upset the other family members who would know that, oh no, Umasibanibani doesn't like want to cook, which is fine, but give her something she will do. For example, some other people would like to do other things like a masala, do you know, when she's in that space. So it can't be right that she would not be willing to do anything. That is a problem.
Because then she's lazy.
I'm saying when you are not sick, when you are well, and there is a function at home, you decide to sit. In fact, it is an embarrassment for your wife to come and fold arms when other people are working. She must at least participate on something, because by her not participating, it's not going to come from you as her husband that she's lazy. She's going to be a gossip around by other family members that this one is lazy. You know, there's no way that you can run away from that. Because when you are not doing anything, you are going to get a name. As much as when you are doing something, when you are actively involved, you are getting another name. So you cannot have the best of both. So if you are participating, they will give you a name. If you're not participating, they will definitely give you a name as well.
This is Pastor Degeda again.
And I often find from my observation and from my experience that, you know, oh my God, to become reluctant sometimes to participate in the affairs of the home. I think it goes back to what I said earlier on. If there are issues, you know, if there are relational issues between perhaps her and the family, either in the way that she is being treated by the family or in the way that she is treating the family. But if a harmonious environment has been created, and indeed, you know, the family has kept to the words, and she has kept to the words and the understanding that, you know, she's coming to add value within the family setup, you know, and she's being treated fairly and with love. I don't necessarily see someone sitting down and folding their arms and not participating in any form or manner when really they've been truly integrated into the family and they understand that we are all working as one as a family towards a common goal, which is the success of this event or, you know, this activity that we are engaged in. So I don't think it would necessarily be a problem. I think the key thing here is to fix those relational issues. And once those relational issues are, you know, are aligned correctly, I think those issues, you know, where, oh my God, it doesn't want to go home, because that also happens sometimes, that people don't want to go home. And the reason why they don't want to go home is the experience that they experience when they get there. You know, so once we are able to resolve those issues, I think we can then create a conducive environment.
100%.
I love it. I love how that you explain the dynamics. And then just on that point, before we move on, how do you then feel about the dress code? That she's different from abantu balapha endlini. So there's that, we welcome you, you're a child of the family, but dress code wise, you can see this one. Ah, this one is a makoti, this one is a daughter here. How do you feel that when she goes to your home, she cannot dress the way she wants to? She can't just come in jeans or, you know, without her head covered. She must have a duke and she must have a long dress. Depending on the culture, maybe she has a scarf around her shoulders or around her waist, depending what culture she comes from. How do you feel about those dynamics? Or do you feel I would? It's fine. It's part of culture.
You know, when you go to this marriage journey, I think you must first embrace the entire process of being married to a particular family. To some other people, it might be a backward thing to wear those things. But to those who appreciate that they are married and they are makotis to that particular family, they will embrace it. They will love it, because it's not necessary a form of excluding them, but sometimes it's a form of giving them some sort of recognition. You know, sometimes some comments that our elders and our sisters and our brothers they give, they will say, oh, wow, wa muhle makoti. If you have an environment like that, like Mfundisi has said, your makoti will never feel belittled by that. Even yourself, you will feel good that, oh, wow, this is my wife. Because of that, you know, of those things that she would be wearing. But if that is used as a symbol of making sure to feel that she's makoti, obviously you would not want her to wear like that. But there are certain things culturally that whether she would want to wear, culture would not allow her. And culture has a reason of not allowing her to wear that. Remember, when we are makoti, there is also a need to be protected. You might think, no, this is just done to exclude me. No. If you are makoti, you belong to this particular person. Remember, as much as you are makoti, but we don't share the same blood here. You have a different blood, which might also make other people from the same family look at you with a different eye, which it shouldn't be the case, because it's possible that people might also be attracted to you without you realizing that the way you behave also attract those people. And then people are going to start giving you names which might offend you or which might stigmatize you. But what is important is that your husband should also play a role between yourself as well as his family members, because your husband understands better the reasons why you have to wear this and that. For example, in my case, my wife's sometimes they wear a scarf, but now they've been there for quite some time, they don't wear it. But when they are wearing it too, I also love it, because they actually give that makoti meaning, even to me, not to only the elders. So I also love it when I look at them like that. I say, ah, you see now, this tells me that these are the real makotis. Some are very young, but I appreciate them in that dress code, because it's not a dress code that they wear all the time. So they have their own time where they would wear whatever that they like. But when we are around that place and there's a particular function that is of importance to us, I would always to say them. In fact, I don't even tell them. They say, how do I look? They even check up with me to say, does this befit this particular function? I clap, I say yes. But if it doesn't, I say, please. So that's what I can say for now.
It's an interesting question. When I say, I mean, I had an experience that maybe speaks to this this issue, where my wife, because you must remember that you know, the ladies that we marry, you know, they also come from different backgrounds, they come from different cultures, they come from, you know, different belief systems. So I think even at the very beginning of the marriage union, or when you are engaged in discussions around getting married, I think it's very important that this be communicated, to the family. There's agreement. Look, I'm marrying someone, let's say, for argument's sake, or Cindy's way, you know, I'm a born again believer myself. There are certain things that we do not subscribe to, you know, that are perhaps mandated by culture. And we do not subscribe to those because of what we believe, those dress codes to represent, you know. And it's not to say we don't appreciate or we do not respect the culture, but there are belief systems. Of course, we're all adults. We're all entitled, you know, to hold certain values, or all entitled to hold certain beliefs. But I think what is important is the communication aspect of it, so that now when she is not dressed in the way that is perhaps expected, there is an understanding. I know it's a very difficult thing to achieve, but there is an understanding that she's not doing so because there is disrespect. But there is this issue, which is a belief system, which is something that is valuable to this individual. Now, coming back to that scenario, I remember we went to a funeral back home as Lalin with my wife. Now, as a pastor, as someone who sins to swear, as a believer, I do not believe in the scarves and the dukes and, you know, and all of that. I don't have a problem with the duke, but the black one and all of that. Because from my understanding, there is significance in every item of that clothing that speaks to, you know, things that may be contrary to my belief system. So what happens now is that my wife gets into that situation. Of course, she's then singled out because she's the only Makoti there who is not dressed as is expected, you know, and there are issues then that arise. One of the ladies then, who is a cousin of mine, a distant cousin, questions, why is she not dressed like she should be dressed? You know, so that question then arises. And then my wife, and I think this was wisdom, she says, look, ask my husband. He's the one who says, I must not dress like that. You know, so I'm then called and I say, yes, she's quite correct. I'm the one, you know, who has said to her, no, I'm fine. Now as your husband, I have no problem. In fact, I don't want you to dress like that, you know. But here's the interesting thing. At a later occasion, not that same day, at a later occasion, the same lady, you know, having, of course, observed how we interact and how I treat my wife, you know, expresses her heart. And she says, you know, she so wishes that her husband would have the same type of heart towards her. So now she put up a face or a front initially, you know, a hardcore front that no, this is how you should be dressed and so forth and so forth. But meanwhile, she had a desire inside, you know, that her husband should stand up for her in certain things, you know. So it's quite an interesting scenario that you bring up when I see it. But I know it's a long answer, but to answer your question, you know, if it doesn't accord with what I believe and my wife is uncomfortable, then she won't dress like that.
This is getting really interesting. But because of time, this is where we're going to have to end it for this week's episode. In isiXhosa, we say, ixesha lutshaba. Because if it weren't for time, we'd be carrying on with this conversation. But, Makoti, don't worry. Next week, we'll be back with Babu Mseleku and Pastor Tekeda. This time, they'll be joined by a progressive-thinking young man. He's engaged. His name is Kabelo Mulepo. Together, they'll be discussing gender roles and conflict resolution, so please make sure you come back to join us. A special thank you to Babu Mseleku and to Pastor Tekeda for joining us, and to you for listening. From me, Siya Tewu, your resident Makoti, until next time, bye-bye, Stando.